On behalf of Rebuilding Your Life Radio and the Train Your Brain, Claim Your Power calls, welcome. I'm your host, Susan Schirico. Joining me today from Pennsylvania is Lisa Wisniewski, who is the author of a blog called Natural Deltas, as well as several books, and the writing is her passion because it augments her work as a supervisor of a major home improvement company and really gets to the heart of her life, to her soul. So let's find out how Lisa rounds out her work life writing in a rural environment. Please wave your hands for Lisa Wisniewski. Hello, Lisa. Welcome.
Hello, Susan. Thank you for having me today.
Well, I'm delighted to have you here. I was thinking about our conversation earlier and remembering what we talked about, and I'm really pleased to be able to chat with you today. I gather you've lived in rural Pennsylvania for your whole life.
That is correct. My whole life. Born and raised in Gibsonia, Pennsylvania, and literally lived 300 yards from the house that I grew up in. So my roots run deep.
Wow. Now, was this... I think when we first talked, you mentioned that this was like a family homestead, and I don't know how many people know about acreage and how you buy land or receive land and divide it up, but what was your original homestead like for the family?
Well, my grandparents bought the homestead back in the 40s. It was 80 acres, 40 acres on each side of the road, and then my grandfather sold 40 acres on the opposite side of the road to his brother, who was my great uncle. And after that, my grandfather passed shortly before I was born, and my grandmother split up the remaining 40 acres between my mom and my uncle, who is my mom's brother. And so everyone ended up, my mom got 10 acres, my uncle got 10 acres, and then the original homestead stayed 19 to 20 acres. Back in 2003, my grandmother was older at that point, and I declared that I was going to buy the house from her, and she was happy to sell it to me and have that burden taken away from her. So been in the house, you know, always took care of the property since I was, like, old enough to walk, and it's just where my roots are and where I enjoy being, spending my time.
That is such a wonderful experience to have. I think very few people are so attached to the land they live on, as you must be, having your whole life there and knowing your whole family roots are there.
Yes, and it's nice because the property is actually, I have 3 acres that I keep a lawn or a yard. There's about 7 acres of fields that we cut for hay that a neighbor uses for his cattle, and then the remaining is woods with a creek and a vernal pond. So a nice variety, lots of wildlife. We're in a higher elevation, so we get to see the sunrise and the sunset. In fact, this morning's sunrise was amazing after several days of very cloudy skies. It was just so nice to see the sunlight out there.
Oh, I get it. I love it. Yeah. When the sun creeps through the clouds, especially, it plays so much in the sky above you. So it's not just the land itself. You also use the land yourself. You know, for a variety of different things. I think you mentioned to me that you have, you know, you're involved in nature. You love nature. You have dogs. You use it to exercise. It's a great place to write and connect with God and to, you know, whatever is speaking to your soul. Do you find it a very healing place to be?
Yes, very much so. Again, just the way the house is positioned on the land, it's wonderful. The road is very rural that we're on, so I run and I bike through the neighborhood and get to, you know, visit with neighbors and relatives that still live in the area, you know, during those runs and bike rides. And as I go along, it's very soothing. Though the road is busier now with more traffic than when I grew up, it's still very soothing. Certain times of the day, there's no traffic, and to be out there in nature and just listening to the wind or to the water running or just, you know, quieting your soul to be with God is amazing, and it's very inspirational. A lot of good what I call poem titles, cross through your eyes. You know, you see a cloud or you see the sunlight through the clouds or sunrise or sunset. And it's what I call poetry in motion. So it's very inspiring. Very
Absolutely.
Healing.
I come away when I talk to you that with a feeling that at some point in time, this was so healing and your connection to spirit on that property was so strong that it really might have led you into a life in ministry.
Yes, I think at some point, some people call my writing my ministry now. A church that I joined about 5 years ago, there was a small group of women who we did a retreat, and I was newer to the parish at that point, and though we had some, you know, smaller breakout sessions talking about, you know, God in our lives and different things we do, and one of the activities we did was to write a poem about a topic, you know, a spiritual topic, and, you know, no one in the group wanted to do it, and, you know, being new to the organization there, I was a little timid, but I volunteered, and as we went around the table, I'm writing, and they're thinking I'm taking notes, but I was writing a poem while I was going around, including all their topics, you know, all their thoughts. So after that, I had a number of those ladies that attended ask me, you know, like, is this your ministry? Is this what you do for a living? And I'm like, no, it doesn't pay the bills. So, but I do think at some point it will take over a greater portion of my life, and that's actually why I went back to school. Back in 2013 to finish a master's degree in writing to have that credential behind me and to make some connections and get some ideas on how can I work that into my life as, you know, different career moves arrive and opportunities come, you know, present themselves.
Fabulous. Fabulous. So when you were making career choices, you know, earlier in your life, what did you wind up doing? I mean, you finished high school. Did you go to college? Did you?
Yes, I went to college. Unfortunately, I got sick in college and ended up going to a community college instead of finishing out. I actually started in mechanical engineering, very mechanically inclined. You know, living rural, we were always repairing a tractor or a truck or, you know, a piece of equipment or something, or a washer or dryer or whatever. So I learned to use tools very early in, you know, when I was young, and I just liked mechanical things, and I would build things and create little things. I'd take everything apart that I could find and build new things out of them. And so I started in mechanical engineering, and I had to kind of put that on hold for a little bit and went to work for a while, but continued night classes for a long time. And did a little bit of engineering design work, development, got into estimating, which really suited my taste because I could do some writing, some technical writing. I could do some presentations. I could also be involved in the design work and the input and the actual supervision of the product lines and such. So that suited me really, really well. However, it started to be more and more geared towards the computer, and I don't sit still very well. So that was a problem. And then I had some other health issues that came up, and just being on the computer was not conducive to that work anymore. So I went to work at a local home improvement center, and that's where I've been. And I'm managing a team of about 9 people in that environment, and it kind of is a culmination of being able to communicate with the customer, meet their needs, help them with problem solving, and, you know, sometimes people just come in to talk or they'll make a comment about something, and I'm like, oh, well, I wrote a poem about that, and they're like, oh, really? And so that leads to other, you know, relationships,
yeah,
and it helps foster a good environment.
So you enjoy it.
Yes, very much.
Yes,
so.
Well, that's good.
The perfect job for me.
Yeah, the perfect. Well, that's what we all hope we will have, is our perfect job. But it's interesting because your book that we're actually talking about today is called Nikki Jean, and Nikki is the name of your dog. So
yes.
How do dogs fit into this picture of woman who has a lot of acres and also works in a home improvement situation and is a mechanical engineer. You know, where do dogs fit in there?
They are my therapy and my sanity. when I was younger, they were my encouragement. I always struggled with making friends and building relationships when I was younger. And we always had dogs in my family, especially German Shepherds, and just very loyal to the breed. And Nikki came to me through what I would call divine intervention, meaning a home, and it just fit the needs of my family at the time, or at least I felt it did. And, you know, these dogs, they come along and they teach you what's important in life, you know, to slow down and literally smell the roses and watch the raindrops fall. And, you know, to be encouraged, even though the day didn't go well, you come home and they're eagerly waiting to unconditionally love you. That is very inspiring to me and very helpful, very soothing.
Now, do you have a particular breed of dog that you like?
I'm very partial to the German Shepherds. Right now I have Shepherd mixes, and I love them both, but I really like the German Shepherds best.
Why is that?
Their loyalty, their faithfulness to you, they're very good at picking up on your emotions. They train very well. Listen very well most of the time, and they are very, they're just very good at leading you through things in life that you might be afraid of, you know, just very good companions, and they tend to be on the quiet side like myself, so it's nice to just walk around the property with them and not have them yipping at you or, you know.
Right. I don't know if I would say that was always true of our shepherds, but we have, I mean, what I found from them, yes, they are incredibly loyal and they are, you know, they are loving and caring, and they, if they're not, I mean, some of them can be pretty barky around strangers, but ours have not been. And we have one who, he gets the name of a shepherd. It's apt for him because he likes to herd the horses and get them to their feed boxes. And we have a herd of cats. And he loves to bring the cats in and out. He goes outside in the morning to find out who's been out all night and brings them to the door to have breakfast. And then, you know, lets me know if there's another cat or two in the neighborhood who'd like to come in. So it's really, they earn the name Shepherd. But yours are, you've been, I mean, the Nikki Jean was special in her own way. What did you want to communicate about her to an audience?
She was my rock through some very difficult times. Shortly after I adopted Nikki when she was about 4 years old. So she was older than any shepherd I had ever owned, you know, coming into my life. All the other ones had been like 4 months old, not 4 years old. But she needed a home. And so I, you know, we did this interview thing where she came to the house and with her former owners, and, you know, they made sure that she was going to be well taken care of. And they fell in love with my grandmother who lived with me at the time, and the property, and the fact that she'd have all this space to run and exercise and, you know, be paid attention to all the time. But Graham grew ill shortly after that. And so I had to care for her, and I had help of family, but, you know, me living in the house and Graham being here, you know, sometimes you just need something to lean on, and Nikki was my rock. If I needed to cry at night, or if I needed someone to just sit there with me, or if I needed someone to watch Graham in the chair while I ran outside to go to the mailbox or whatever, I could rely on Nikki. She, when I first got her, she liked to lounge around a lot, but that quickly changed when, you know, she started exploring the yard with me. And she was definitely a very good companion through, I did a lot of house projects as well. Did a lot of renovations to accommodate Graham's needs and to fix up things that had been left go for a while. And Nikki was in on all those projects. And there was one project in particular. It was a little landscaping project that we did. And it was just very, Nikki loved to play ball. So I'd throw the ball for her and, you know, she'd stay around me when I was working on these projects. And we built this little stone wall around a hand pump that we had in the yard. And Nikki actually helped me pick out each rock that went
in
the
next
place. So I'd throw the ball, she'd come back and drop the ball on a rock, and I'd be like, that one looks like it might work. And it was like this, it was like having a helping hand, because I didn't know a lot about how to build these things back then. It was one of my first attempts. And we built this little stone wall, and it was just something that was ours, you know. I can think of other times where I was doing house renovations and it would be late at night, and, you know, I worked a full-time job at that point, you know, in engineering. And so I had to be up early and get to work, and then I'd come home and I'd spend, you know, 4 or 5 hours each night, you know, doing demolition in a room, reframing, wiring, plumbing, it, whatever was needed. And Nikki would come over to me and she'd put her paw on my arm like, you got to go to bed here because you're going to need to wake up. It's midnight and you need to be up at 4. So, and by the way, you haven't eaten yet since you came home. So, so it was, you know, she was my reminder, you know.
Yes.
And she, if I was sick, after we did a number of renovations, I did the kitchen, the living room, and the spare room, like all in 1 year within a 6 month time frame. And I got a little run down from all that. And so I had to take like 2 days off work, and I remember laying in bed. And Nikki was with me, you know, the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And she'd make sure that I, you know, stayed down for a couple of days to recoup. So just, you know, her attention to my feelings and her, you know, she could have been a great therapy dog, honestly. She was very keen to what you needed. And my relationship with her very much changed my outlook on life. And, you know, one of the themes of the book is relationships and who we know and how who we know helps us grow into who we are to become.
Wonderful.
So that,
okay.
That, you know, Nikki was there when I was doing all my writing and my initial attempts to try and publish things. She was there by my side and, you know, she'd sit up with me late at night, early in the morning, whatever time of day it was, whatever we were doing, she was always with me. And, it was like having, you know, God by your side, and that was just very reassuring to me.
Now, were you writing about her at that point?
Not about her specifically. I mean, on her birthday or her anniversary of something, I would write a poem about her or a little story and share it with, you know, family and friends. I didn't write about her until after she had passed, so...
And so when did you decide you actually wanted to start publishing?
Well, back in 2008, I was trying to go back to school and juggle a bunch of projects. And I said, you know, I'd really like to put together a collection of poetry. And it took me a couple years to find someone. I found a small independent publisher in my area. And I met with her, and she agreed to publish. It was a collection of what I thought was the best of the best of what I had written so far at that point in my life.
Mm-hmm,
And so I did that book, and I gave it away, literally just gave it away as gifts for that year for Christmas. And, you know, family, friends, some friends of the family, whatever, just people I met, and everyone liked it so much, they're like, well, do you have more? And I'm like, well, yeah, I've got years worth of this stuff. I've been writing since I was 14. So so I put together another collection, and we did another book. And, you know, so like every year for about 6 years, I put these small collections of poetry out there. And I had a lot of people say, well, you should try and publish this, you know, at a bigger spectrum, but it costs a lot of money. And I didn't have that. You know, I didn't have the resources.
Right.
So at the same time I had Nikki, I also had a black lab named Luke.
Mm-hmm.
And Luke was a handful. And so one day he was being very mischievous. And this was when Graham was still well. And she said, you know, he's just like, you need to write a book about him. And so I said, well, when the time comes, I'll write a book about him. And because of all the things that he had damaged and destroyed and whatever, he had cost me a lot of money. And I told him, I said, Luke, your book better sell if I publish it. So I decided at that point that I would write a book about Nikki when the time was right, and about him when the time was right. That was when I decided that I was going to do some stories. And a lot of people who know me like my stories better than my poetry.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So Nikki's book has a little bit of both. There's stories and there's some poems in there too.
Fantastic. So you have, you have published both Trouble with Luke, with a Luke,
mm-hmm.
and the Nikki Jean story. Do you have any others out?
Yes, I have another book, Angel in Disguise. That's about another special dog, but that was, that's about my dog Princess, who I had when I was growing up
mm-hmm.
as a teenager, before I had gotten Nikki. So,
are you working on any right now?
Yes, actually, I'm trying to get another book written about another dog, Sadie, who, again, very, very special. Sadie is in Nikki's book. Sadie came to us, again, divine intervention. And when Nikki passed, Sadie did a very good job stepping into some very big paws to fill.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to get that put together, hopefully this year.
Wonderful. Now, I know that that's not the only writing project you do. You also have a blog called Natural Deltas. How
yes.
did that get started?
That was actually originally started as a class requirement when I went to finish my master's degree. There were several classes you had to take, and two of the classes required you to do a blog. And so that's how that blog started. It was a requirement. And the classes I took were what they were called condensed. And so in 7 weeks, you had to come up with all this material and publish something each week. And there was criteria to each post that you had to have. And when I moved on from that class, we had to do what they called a senior portfolio class. And one of the challenges to us was to figure out, what do you want to do with your writing? And several of the instructors told me that if you really want to be a writer, you got to have a blog in today's world. So I said, fine. And said, I'm going to keep Natural Deltas going as long as I can. And I've tried to do it according to what they say is the standards, where you try to stick to a theme and you try to be consistent with your publishing, a certain time of the week and such. Last year got a little difficult with scheduling and getting things posted each week. I did manage by the end of 2023 to catch up with all my notes and things that I wanted to publish. And at 11:59 p.m. on New Year's Eve, I put everything out there. So,
oh, that's great. You had a schedule.
Yeah.
I'm going to do this. Yes, yes. So how do people find out about it? How do you keep people in the loop of what you're doing?
Usually it's grassroots effort. I have a group of people that are friends and family, and they tell their friends and family. My church community is pretty good about helping me. I've advertised a little bit in like the church bulletins at times. I've also done some fundraising things with like the dog shelter and local police, doing some giveaway baskets that contain some of my books, and kind of like just some pro bono,
mm-hmm.
throw it out there and hope someone takes interest in it. It's very, very grassroots. Again, the resources are a bit limited financially, so anything that I can get for free is how
you
I
do.
Go about that. Yeah.
Now, do you do any personal promotion, like reading excerpts from the books or leading people through reading, clubs, that sort of thing?
I do have several friends that are in reading clubs, and so they've helped me with that, get the word out. There is a link on my blog as well for the books. My books contain information about the blog, and the back blurb area. Some of my customers that come in, you know, depending on the relationship I have with them, I've given out books or I give out little cards that have information about the blog on them. So, again, just very, very minor grassroots effort now.
I think there's something to be said for that, you know, within a community, especially a rural community, that you offer something that's very special to people in your neighborhood, and it grows beyond that as people share. Be interesting to see how it does that. You know, somebody who lives in your hometown talks to somebody in Pittsburgh, and next thing you know, there's a whole group of people in Pittsburgh who are following your blog kind of thing, you know. What's the name of your blog? You haven't mentioned, I mentioned Natural Deltas, but what's the actual address?
It's naturaldeltas.wordpress.com.
Okay. And they can get information on how to reach you there. Do you have an email address or anything?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes.
Okay. Because I think, to me, if someone is interested in, you know, hearing something of what you've written, or wants to see if you might be able to read for them at an event, that's a good place to start where they find you on the blog. Did you think to bring anything today?
Yes, I have something I wrote recently that is a poem that I think some people might enjoy.
Good, let's hear it.
Okay, this was written in the fall, in October, and in Pennsylvania we definitely have the season, so mm-hmm. This is when the leaves were changing, and we were getting that, last Indian summer type weather, and definitely into fall and with a lot of color about. But it's called When to Dance, and it was inspired by one of my runs. I actually wrote this in my head while I was running and had to hurry back home and write it all down before it got away from me.
Right.
So it's called When to Dance. Deer in the fields staring at the goldenrod and asters smiling back as the sunset bleeds to wake you up from the day you've had. And the air speaks to the heart inside, setting the soul free to be open to the will of God's hands. He'll teach you when to be still and when to dance. Green leaves of the ferns in the ditch deep where the road turns. Red burning bush above the green white oak. Leaves that push up past the road. Little flower on the roadside has the power to pick up the heart inside. Let your days be filled with the beauty of the land as you learn when to be still and when to dance. Whatever you see in nature, yeah, well, God, he made that. And the leaves on the trees are changing, the limbs filled with fruits and nuts that sustain the squirrels and chipmunks, and every boy and girl that comes to share in the wonder and the beauty. For under the surface of what you see resides the will of God's hands, teaching you when to be still and when to dance. So listen to the wind, sit in the silence, see the gifts given in the quiet. Take the sights before you, make the light shine with the truth. Let your days be filled with the beauty of the land as you learn when to be still and when to dance.
That's lovely. That's truly lovely. So where are your books available?
They're available through westbowpress.com.
Mm-hmm.
And the Luke's book is on Amazon as well. Through another effort that I'm not sure where we actually left it at, but it is available on Amazon. And I've noticed through some of the resale book sites, I guess people that bought the books are reselling them too. So if you do a Google search, it'll come up. So.
Ah, okay. So they may actually be able to, do they save any money if they go that way?
Yes.
Yes, they do. So, well, then that might be a benefit.
Yeah.
So what would you like to see happen with your books?
Honestly, I just want to share the stories. It would be nice to recoup some costs that have gone into things, but I honestly don't believe that my writing was meant to be an income for me. I believe it was just meant to be a vehicle to spread God's grace and will That's what I believe anyway.
And you haven't gotten any nudges to do anything else with it at this point?
Not at this point. At some point in the future, depending on, the economy and, other factors, maybe there'll be, something else that strikes me. I guess at some point, maybe too later in life, when I'm older, it might be, as you had mentioned earlier, a sense of ministry where maybe through the church, if someone's sick or whatever, maybe doing some sort of outreach that way where they get a palm a week or something to uplift them. I'm not sure where it's all going to go. I kind of just let the, what I call the inner 8-year-old spirit guide me when it comes to that.
I love that. How did you meet your inner 8-year-old spirit?
I've always been a kid at heart. Mm-hmm. When I very first started working, someone made a comment to me and I said, well, I'll always be 8, and it just kind of stuck. And everyone that knows me knows I have this inner 8-year-old. And I honestly think if I allow the inner child to just listen, I think the inner child writes better than the adult in me. So a lot of the things, she has way better conversations with God than I do. And a lot of the stuff that I come up with is, like yesterday, I went running and I wrote something about that run, and it was the inner 8-year-old and God talking. And like I said, I think she writes better than the adult. So
she's more open to hearing what is being said, right?
Yeah, there's more innocence there, and there's more mm-hmm. sense of wonder than the a little bit of a dulled, adult view of the world.
Right. Interesting. So, well, I want to thank you so much for sharing your books and your blog information with us, Lisa. I also want to thank our listeners. As a reminder, we've been speaking to Lisa Wisniewski about her writings, including the book Nikki Jean, which is available on Amazon. And she has another one, which is Trouble with Luke and An Angel in Disguise. They're all books centered on dogs. Are these hunting dogs by any chance?
No, they're all, Luke was a lab, but he mm-hmm. wasn't a hunter. Okay. Except for Trouble.
Then he was Trouble. Okay. But if you would be interested in having Lisa read about, her works and the crazy wild adventures of her canines for a group you may have or an organization, I'm sure she would love to, help you in some way. So check out her blog. It's naturaldeltas.wordpress.com. Just leave a comment there, and when she receives it, she'll have a chance to get back to you. So thank you again for being with us, Lisa. We really look forward to hearing about your upcoming books.
Well, thank you for the opportunity again, Susan. I very much appreciate it. And thanks to all the listeners today.
Well, that's a wrap, everyone. Bye for now, and have a great day.